Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. I almost panicked because I misread a headline. You ever do that, Tyler? You ever see something, you're like, no, and then it's not even nearly as bad as you thought it was.
What'd you do for this one?
This is on ESPN. NBA Players Union Director, the headline, let me back up. The headline was NBA Players Union not on same page for 2020-21, which turns out to be a clickbait headline. Because it turns out that Michelle Roberts, who's the Players Union Director, is surprised to see the proposed start date for next season, for 2020-2021. So, tentatively, and it was important to note that during the story, the NFL, or the NBA rather, restart dates for the draft lottery and the NBA draft and a bunch of other things, the opening of free agency, all considered to be more or less tentative dates. But the proposed opening of training camp for 2020-2021 is on November 10th, which is less than a month after the proposed end of the finals in Orlando, Florida. So it's kind of like a working timeline. Michelle Roberts says that she was surprised to see it. I don't anticipate the training camp would start for playoff teams a month afterwards. But I know that there are some provisions built in for the non-playoff teams that they'd be able to execute mini camps or some kind of training session deal during the time that they are not participating, or sooner after, maybe even during the playoffs sometimes. That is much less concerning than the players' union not approving of the restart plan, which is, of course, what I thought the initial thing said. And I thought, well, we just can't have nice things. There's just going to be no sports whatsoever. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And on Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5, The Fanatic. So that is the latest from the NBA. You've heard from the NHL. And, of course, our Twitter poll on 97.5, The Fanatic. How invested will you be in Major League Baseball games if they're going up against NHL and NBA playoffs and eventually the NFL season? Not at all, a little, or a lot? So far, with 300-plus votes at this point, a little is the leader at 38.1%, not at all at 35.6%, and a lot is at 26% of the vote. Not great. Not great for Major League Baseball, especially considering the fact that whenever this return does happen, you are going against those other events. Hard to build up the goodwill that, by the way, they could have built up while these other leagues were figuring out their stuff. I said it from the beginning, the first sport that I anticipated that would be back was golf, because you don't need fans and it is an outdoor sport. You don't need, like, there's no way for me to say this without it turning into a drop, so whatever. You're playing your own ball. The other person doesn't need to touch your equipment. Like, that sort of thing, right? Like, that's okay. All right, Tyler, laugh it up. Yep, that's fine. All right, thanks, Burn. Jeez. I want to think.
You have a 12-year-old producing the show.
I can't help it.
You don't think I'm going to hit a couple drops for that? Come on.
I can't help it. Here's the
thing. It's going to be a drop for Jamie by tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's probably true. The second sport that I always thought would come back was baseball. I thought that baseball would be the second. And I know that there were some other concerns. Like, you raised them earlier. Much earlier, weeks ago, and accurately, I think, that baseball dugouts are gross. There's a lot of gross stuff that happens in baseball dugouts that is not what you'd call COVID-19 friendly.
I don't even know if I'd call it sanitary.
Right.
Like, on a regular day.
So, I get that that is an obstacle, but outside spaces, you know, for the most part, you know, not necessarily fans required. I thought that that would be an easy fix relative to, like, say, the NHL or the NBA. How would you get those sports back in place? But Major League Baseball has dropped the ball pretty much every single step that they possibly could have. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem as though it's in the name of public safety. It doesn't seem that it's in the name of player safety, as so many of these conversations always are. This one boils down to dollars and cents. And that's a blow that I don't know that the casual sports fan or the casual baseball fan will be able to recover from. Not when you're seeing the NBA Board of Governors pretty much working in tandem with the players' union, trying to figure out an acceptable solution for a resumption of play. Not when the NHL is thinking outside of the box on how they're going to settle a champion for this year. And not certainly when the NFL is full speed ahead and that locomotive just continues to move on down that track. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Top aboard that conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. Lots of stuff going on. Oh, also, this is lost in the shuffle. I meant to say this earlier. Some good news. The NHL will progress to phase two, which is voluntary workouts, starting on Monday. So the NHL is taking another step forward there. Now, there's a lot of runway still ahead. There's still a lot of things that need to be settled down. But another positive step for the NHL. And I don't know, like, we've seen this happen all the time with news dumps and the timings of press releases and stuff like that, announcements of events. I have to believe that at some level, all of these leagues are working in competition with each other to see who can handle things the best, who can get back out there safest and quickest. And so far, Major League Baseball is significantly lagging behind. But you notice that I would say that the return to phase two, which is voluntary workouts, to be a decently big step for the NHL. And that coming on the heels of the NBA Board of Governors announcing that they have approved a return to play plan, which, of course, comes on the heels of Major League Baseball rejecting the players' counteroffer without a plan to offer another counter proposal themselves. So in the battle of the sports leagues, there are shots being fired across the bow. And I have to say, Major League Baseball not looking the best out of all of these. 610-632-0975 is the way that you get involved in the conversation. And on Twitter, of course, is at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. And if you missed it, Kevin Durant buys a minority stake in the Philadelphia Union. What does that mean? I would imagine that that's a pretty good recruiting tool. You know how it's getting to be like more in vogue for Premier League players and La Liga players and Serie A players to finish up pretty much at Major League Soccer? Well, if Kevin Durant is in any kind of, you know, ambassador role, or he knows these guys at all or anything like that, I would imagine that that could play a factor in any kind of recruiting, perhaps. Let's go to Ian in Newark next on The Fanatic. What's up, Ian?
Hey, what's up, buddy? I believe they cannot be this stupid not to work it out, though. I think they meet in the middle, 80 games, the last second. So when is the deadline, you think?
I mean, when's the deadline for an 80-game season? I mean, it depends on how
willing
there are to go against, like, the NBA Finals and the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and the start of the NFL. You know what I mean?
So what do you think? Do you think they don't work it out? I think they end up working it out.
I really don't. Based on what I'm seeing, I don't think so. And the only reason why I say it, Ian, is because the salary cuts aren't on the table for the players, and the owners are saying the more games that they play, the more money they're losing if there are no fans there. So I just think that it's...
So you think it's going to be more that the owners don't want to play?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I kind of think so. I mean,
I don't think they're that hard. That's tough. But now, what do you think about the NBA thing? I think I'm just shocked by the NBA. Like, I put myself in the players. I mean, you make a lot of money. I guess they're not scared of the virus at all, so... I just think Sixers do have an advantage because I think Embiid ended up having the virus, though. Because didn't two Sixers players have the virus?
I don't know anything about Embiid getting it. I have no idea.
Well, two players got it, so my assumption that he did get it. But now with the NBA, they're expecting players to get the virus. Did you read about that? I mean, I didn't know if you talked about that yet.
Well, what they said, Ian, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it, is that they have a plan such that the league would not be shut down for a positive test.
And it was two employees. They didn't specify employees. Players. It was two employees.
And it might have been players, but we don't know.
Yeah, we probably won't know.
Yeah, no way of knowing. That's, you know, private information. Right. Yeah, there's no way that we could know for sure who it was. Tyler, I don't think that it's necessarily that they're scared, like that they're not scared of the virus. I don't think that that's necessarily it. I think at some point, if you come up with a plan with like a cost benefit analysis where you're looking at like, here are the risks and here are what we stand to gain for taking said risks, they obviously learn something that's acceptable to them.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise they wouldn't put their players in jeopardy. They're not stupid. Like, they're not going to be foolish about playing games just to play games. There is an obvious risk of playing, but they have to have had the idea that these risks are going to be mitigated for the most part because they feel like they're going to be comfortably able to play again.
Right, exactly. Now, here's the official, by the way, speaking of that transition to phase two for the NHL, here's the official announcement. Beginning June 8th, subject to each club's satisfaction of all of the requirements set out in the phase two protocol, clubs will be permitted to reopen their training facilities in their home city to allow players to participate in individualized training activities off ice and on ice. Players will be participating on a voluntary basis and will be scheduled to small groups, a maximum of six players at any one time, plus a limited number of club staff. The various measures set out in the phase two protocol are intended to provide players with a safe and controlled environment in which to resume their conditioning. Phase two is not a substitute for training camp. All necessary preparations for phase two, including those that require player participation, education, diagnostic testing, scheduling for medicals, etc., can begin immediately. The NHL and the NHLPA continue to negotiate over an agreement on the resumption of play. That's kind of interesting. That there's even though we kind of feel like this is the plan that has been laid out, that there's still negotiation happening over the resumption of play. Obviously, I would assume that it is, when is it safe to move to phase three? When are things going to continue to progress in terms of the development and the lifting of restrictions? But either way, I think that this is good news. I think this is good news for sports. It's clearly good news for hockey, who is taking the advantage and seizing an opportunity that Major League Baseball is not. Painful. Painful, I know, for baseball fans.
That third, fourth flip is going to be real.
Oh,
it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. Now, the problem is that a permanent sentence? Is it possible that, barring an NHL lockout, Major League Baseball is permanently behind hockey if that happens? Or does it just take a new wave of superstars? Does it take some game innovation? Like, you know, what happens? The only thing that's constant in sports is change, except for the fact that the NFL just rules all. That's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it's king NFL, and then everything is subjective after that.
I feel like the NBA is like made runs where it's risen and fallen relative to baseball, right? Like, I feel like that's happened.
I would think so.
It's definitely at a high point now relative to where baseball
is. It's easily number two.
I think so, too.
And it's much closer to number one than it is to number three.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right about that.
There was
some gap.
I don't think there's been a time, I don't know, maybe you feel differently, but the only time in probably the last 30 years that baseball was number two, to me, would be the Maguire-Sosa home run battle time. Yeah, and maybe the steroid era in general, that would probably have been when it was number two.
Interesting.
But I think it's been the NBA for the better part of 20 years now.
So the time that I was thinking of was
when Jordan retired the first time, late 90s, which is kind of exactly when you're talking about here, like roughly the same time. But you've got, like, I remember the era of the shortstop where it was Jeter and Garcia Parra and A-Rod and everybody. Like, that was a pretty high point that was kind of on the heels of that. The Bonds home run chase was there. But then I think, but like, by the time LeBron James entered the league, was that 03 that he got drafted?
Yeah.
I feel like that was the, like, the re-takeover. You know what I mean? I feel like there was a period probably between, like, 98 and 03 where there was some significant ground made up by Major League Baseball, and that it perhaps might have taken over in the absence of Jordan being the cult of personality that he was in the league. Now, I don't know, man. Now I feel like it's you're losing ground.
Well, I think they baseball's done nothing but hurt themselves. They've not marketed stars the way they should. They totally stunk up the joint when it came to Astros Red Sox scandal over the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They've done nothing to deter, I think, teams from cheating. Not just those two, but those are the two that got caught.
Yeah, the biggest.
I'm convinced other teams were doing things. They're just the two that got caught.
Just not banging on a trash
can.
Right.
So I don't know if Major League Baseball has helped itself in any way other than, and this is going to sound crazy, other than letting the players be a part of the steroid era.
Mm.
By allowing that to happen, they sold tickets, they sold merchandise, they sold jerseys because people wanted to see home runs, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's why everybody was let off so easily.
Do you think so?
Because the league allowed it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is why, in my opinion, a lot of people feel differently. You could let me know how you feel. All of these guys that are Hall of Fame worthy with the steroid era should be in the Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
Because it was an era that happened and baseball let it happen.
Interesting. See, the way that I look at it is way closer to the way you look at it versus the keep all steroid users out era. It's the way that I compare, like, I think comparing eras is mega important, right? So I think the context really, really matters if you're looking at how good, like, Nate Archibald is relative to the rest of the NBA. The numbers are staggering, but you look at the numbers that other people were putting up at the same time, and he, like, the best example of this, that's a poor example. The best example is Wayne Gretzky, right? I still believe that Wayne Gretzky's probably the greatest hockey player who's ever lived. Probably. But I don't think the difference between Wayne and everyone else is what it was when he was playing. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there were some others. Like,
you're talking from a talent standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
because the numbers are still obviously massively inflated.
Clearly. And I'm a goalie, so I'm pained when I watch the years where Wayne Gretzky's scoring all of those goals and stuff like that, because I wonder how many goals he scores against goalies that are like Henrik Lundqvist and are like Jonathan Quick and Marc-Andre Fleury. And like, modern goaltending has come such a long way relative to then. I'm not sure that the players have improved as dramatically as that. So the context, and I guess the numbers, the era matters there for me. Like, he's better than Sidney Crosby, but is he like 50 points better than Sidney Crosby every year? Probably not. It's probably tight.
I think that's probably pretty fair, but I think that's probably the case for every single league across the board.
Right.
Because, you know, think about all of the innovative changes that have happened in every single sport. You go to the NBA, the invention of the three-point shot has benefited players like Ray Allen and Steph Curry unbelievably. You look at the NFL, you can't really hit receivers anymore. Quarterback numbers get inflated.
Yes.
You look at Major League Baseball, baseball is literally marred in, quote, eras.
Yeah,
because you
dead
have
ball.
The steroid era, the dead ball era, the fact that African Americans weren't allowed to play until the 1940s, that changes things. All of these things across the board change what you want to call an era. So I think you have to adapt with the times of the 90s specifically and look at that and say these guys all were allowed to do it. Therefore, it was an accepted thing across the league. You've got to let them all in if they're worthy. Like, Canseco's not a Hall of Famer.
Understood.
Bonds is, McGuire is, Sosa is, Clemens. They're all Hall of Famers, in my opinion.
Especially when you consider they were all, you know, playing against each other. You know, like that's what we mean. Like context matters. It's widespread. That's an era. You got to deal with it.
The argument being that, oh, well, Bonds would have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't, even if he didn't take steroids. Okay, so why is he not in the Hall of Fame?
Right. Well, steroids disqualify him. Use of steroids disqualifies him in the
right.
eyes of votes.
If he was the only one. You know what I mean?
Right,
though?
I
so
understand.
With it being so widespread across the league, I don't know. Maybe I just... Maybe I look at it differently because I wasn't a broadcaster or a writer at the time.
Right.
And I was just a fan, but I don't know. That's how I feel about it.
Just a fan. Come on, man. So much more than just a fan. 610-632-0975. Fans are what we're all about here, obviously. The steroid era is an interesting one to me in particular because I do wonder, like, would it be acceptable to you, Tyler, if steroid era players were accepted into the Hall of Fame, but there was a wing? Like, there was an exhibit that says, these are the greatest players of the steroid era.
No, I don't think so.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's not, because then you have to do that for all those eras we just mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to do it for, like you said, dead ball era. You have to do it for the inflated baseball or the juiced baseball that we're seeing
now. You mean currently?
Correct. That's what I mean. Currently. Yeah. You have to do it for, again, the league as it was before they allowed African Americans to play. Like, because there are tons of players that never played Major League Baseball, like Josh Gibson's and, you know, Satchel Paige, who only played a few seasons when he was 46 and 47, who would have probably dominated Major League Baseball. So I don't think so. I think that if you're going to make a wing for steroid players, you have to make a wing for every single era across the board.
610-632-0975 is your phone number. Fascinating. I like that. We'll see what people think about it. And more of your phone calls next, so Pete, sit tight. You'll lead us off on the other side. It is the Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Rolling on until 10 o'clock, Tyler Zulli's producing. I've enjoyed the show so far. It's been fun talking to you guys, so let's keep that rolling with Pete and Princeton next on 97.5, The Fanatic. Hey, Pete.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Awesome. How are you?
I'll agree. I guess we'll agree to disagree because I believe the if they do the best of seven after that first play-in sort of business going on,
uh-huh.
I have no problem saying, hey, you deserved it. You know, everyone's kind of starting from the same spot.
Uh-huh.
To be honest with you, I think, you know, if the series, if it had gone out without stoppage and it had gone on, the only way that I think I would have had a problem with it being an asterisk if someone like the Nets would have won it, because Durant would maybe come back and, you know what I'm saying? That would be
right.
A situation where it's an asterisk. But other than that, I mean, I don't consider it an asterisk. But the one thing that I do think that the newfangled way that really isn't getting enough tread, as far as I'm concerned, is adding that seventh NFL playoff team, for me, ends all the debate, like, when's your McNabb? Because it's easier for him to get in the playoffs now. And it's easier for teams to make the playoffs as the seventh seed. So when it's like total playoff appearances, Wentz has 12 and McNabb has 8, you got to count the 4 that McNabb would have got if they added one more team in. You know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
So, to me, the end of quarterbacks and comparisons and playoffs, lifetime playoff appearances, that kind of stuff, for me, that ends now because the asterisk would have to be, now you let one more team in per year. Pittsburgh lost out on 7 playoff appearances in the last 20 years.
Yes.
7. If they would have given the 7th playoff spot out. So that to me is a bigger deal than the basketball thing. What do you think, guys?
Well, does it hold any water with you, Pete, that as part of that 7th team being added, that the one of the buys is taken away for the second seed in the NFC? Because that kind of changes the chemistry as well.
Well, I do believe. Well, what it does is, which I've always been a fan of, is it rewards the one seed.
I agree.
It gives them the extra thing. So I'm not even saying the seventh team is a bad thing. I'm just saying it stops the comparison for me. But what I think we'll see in the next 4 or 5 years is a lot of one seeds making it to the Super Bowl, and I think that's maybe what they want to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's possible, because I know that before this recent stretch, and Pete, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Before this recent stretch of top 2 seeds making the Super Bowl, we saw wild card teams making runs. We saw the Giants make a run. We saw Pittsburgh make a run. We saw Green Bay make a run. We saw a lot of teams that were the last team in or making it in on the last weekend or something like that making runs. I don't have a problem with those teams making runs to the Super Bowl. I don't have... As long as the teams that are playing the best win. Like, if a team goes, whatever, 10-0, and then, you know, 2-4 in their last 6, maybe that team's not the best team in the league, even if they have the best record. You know what I mean? Maybe they're not playing the best. Maybe they had debilitating injuries or whatever. I don't know. But, Tyler, do you get what I was asking Pete when he was saying that, you know, now that there's a 7th team, it invalidates whatever modern quarterbacks are doing. It's harder to make the postseason if you're not to make the Super Bowl now if you're not the one seed now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm a pretty big advocate against the addition of the 7th team. I'm also a pretty big advocate against the addition of or the subtraction of one bye.
Right.
And the reason being is I look at last year specifically. And I know we talked about it earlier, so this is going to sound a little hypocritical, like how good were the Packers actually at 13-3? But there were 3 13-3 teams last year in the NFC, 2 of which got a bye. Obviously, the Saints didn't. They get bounced by the Vikings in the first round. Now you're going to tell me the 2 teams that lost 3 times in 17 weeks are not going to get a bye?
Right.
Now, granted, you should defend your home turf, right? The Saints, in all theory, should have won that game.
Yep.
But... you're going to tell me that 2 13-3 teams now are going to have to play Wild Card Weekend when Wild Card Weekend is meant for the Tennessee Titans, who, by the way, made a run to the AFC title game, is meant for the Philadelphia Eagles, who were let's be real, weren't a very good football team last year.
Not by the end.
And won a bad division. That's who's supposed to be playing Wild Card Weekend. It's not supposed to be the team that won 13 times in 17 weeks.
No doubt, though, it does zhuzh up Wild Card Weekend.
It makes it more exciting, for sure.
Does.
I don't.
Is it fair? Right.
Yeah, and
probably not fair.
You know me. I'm not like a participation trophy guy. And I think that the addition of a 7th team is participation trophy at the worst. And on the flip side, you're now invalidating an entire team's season by making them play that extra game.
See, I've got to tell you the truth. I have fought back against you and PC on this because it has been the reward of the bye. A lot of the evidence utilized is short-term sample size over the last little bit relative to the teams that get hot to make the playoffs and want to keep playing over and over and over again versus the teams that either need to get healthy or would have steamrolled whoever they played in the first round anyways. You just give them a bye. I don't know. For me, the jury's still out on how good of a thing the bye is objectively in the postseason anyway. Yes, you make it into the second round anyway, but we've seen teams that had the bye get steamrolled. So I just don't know. I'm still torn on whether it's even a great thing for everyone.
Well, and I look specifically on the Eagles' 2017 run, and obviously they were the one seed, so it wouldn't have impacted them. But let's say they would have been the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And was it the Rams were the 2 seed, I believe?
I think so.
Okay.
I believe so.
So or was it the Vikings?
I thought it was the Rams. Hold on.
One of the 2 of them would have been the 1 seed instead of the Eagles. And the Eagles then had to go and play a team in the wild card round. The way they played against Atlanta in the first three quarters, the way they played against Oakland on Christmas Day, the way they played against the Giants prior
was
to that.
The Vikings. Good memory. Wow.
Would that have, to you, indicated at all that the Eagles were about to make a Super Bowl run?
No, no way.
It would have been an extra game.
Yeah.
They got, I mean, they literally escaped by the thinnest margin against the Falcons team.
Yep.
And it took, like you always say, Karate Neil to make a play.
And Julio Jones inexplicably dropping the ball again.
Just not making a play on a corner that was 6 inches short of them.
Unreal. You're right.
Still shouldn't have rolled out, but roll out on fourth down.
You never do that. You know that. You know the rules.
Cut half the field off.
But to your point, the bye helped out the Eagles tremendously. Tremendously.
Right. Now, again, they were the one seed. They still would have gotten it. But just think if they were the two.
Right. Yeah. Maybe the Super Bowl never happens. Brian in Plymouth Meetings next on The Fanatic. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, guys.
It is impossible for you to tweet us too much, Brian. That's not a thing.
Right on. So actually, to what you were just talking about, I've always felt that if you have an experienced team, they can handle the bye. Mm-hmm. But if you get a team that comes out of nowhere and you have no playoff experience, just because of the speed of the game, like you can kind of, you know, everyone can tell you it's going to be faster in the NFL playoffs, but until you experience it.
Ravens weren't ready. The Ravens were not ready for the bye last year.
Because somehow, I mean, the NFL game is ridiculously fast, but somehow in the playoffs, it just cranks up another level. Yep. And a lot of times you'll get a team that's down 14-0 and before they even like realize what's going on.
Yeah, you're right about
I mean,
that.
Last year I thought the Niners were kind of vulnerable for that reason. But yeah. They
hung in there. You know,
I mean, but that's a super fast team. So yeah. I guess they...
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of wanted to get back to this this baseball ridiculousness.
Yes.
I feel like they're all in an echo chamber and they don't realize how baseball is flipping. You can kind of expand that out. Like if you're like on Twitter and you block anybody that doesn't think the way you do, then you'll never have anyone challenge your opinions and you'll be, you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah. You get self-validated because everything that you hear already comes from someone that shares your thoughts. And so you never even think that you would need to expand outside of what you already think. Absolutely. I'm 100% on board.
And in that, you know, that thread I sent you, I mean, player safety is really important. But like fans aren't going to care about that. Like it's all that matters is the perception from your customers, and they're in serious danger.
Yeah, well, especially because like it's not even Brian. As far as I can tell, it's not even being framed as player safety or even public safety. It's being framed as an economic argument. You know what I mean?
Now it is because it always was. I mean, the owners thought they could get the players over a barrel because the owners are scumbags. And if you don't follow baseball, then you wouldn't really know that. So who's visible? The players, not the owners. So, and I don't know. I mean, it's troublesome. I mean, people are going to have less money to spend next year. I could totally see attendance being off a minimum of 20% off of what it was last year. Like, I'm a 6-year season ticket holder, and we thought about taking the two seats next to us for next year. And then when I did the math, I'm like, if somebody wants to buy our tickets on StubHub, they have to spend like $800 all in to take their family, which seems like a crazy amount of money. Like, there's no way that, you know, I'd love to have them, but I mean, we're going to take too much of a bass. And if, you know, families just get out of the habit of going down there, they could really fall off very quickly, and they're totally not seeing that.
Well, Brian, we theorize that they could perhaps even fall behind the NHL in the national conversation. Do you see a day where that could happen?
I mean, that's kind of tough. But, I mean, it might just splinter where it becomes a fringe sport, but their business model is more than a fringe sport. I mean, they've got 45,000-seat stadiums.
Right.
If they don't play this year, my over-under on teams that declare bankruptcy is 2.5. And that, you know, obviously the owners of the teams aren't going to be broke, but like those teams are going to declare bankruptcy. That sounds a little extreme, but I mean, Jeff Passan said he expected at least one if they don't play.
Well, Well, and you know, it's not, Brian, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate the perspective. I don't feel like that's crazy hot takey stuff. Business not bringing people in to spend money in business, going out of business is not, that's not crazy. Like, these owners have companies set up to run these teams for a reason, so that you can't look at them and be like, but this owner still has so many billions of dollars. Why isn't this baseball team running? It's like, nope, the company that I started to run this baseball team is out of money, so we're going bankrupt.
Well, and I mean, stop me if I haven't said any of these names yet today on the show. The Oakland A's, the Tampa Bay Rays, mm-hmm. the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, there are even some teams that are, you know, I guess you would call them mid-market, that I think that there should be concern about. The Milwaukee Brewers no longer having that Miller Park the sponsorship to their stadium.
Right.
I think there's just way too many teams that could suffer because of this. I agree with Passan. I would not be shocked if one of those teams declares bankruptcy in the next 12 months.
Would not be terribly surprising. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We do have open phone lines now, so grab those while you can. 610-632-0975. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Is there something worse, like a worse sports move than the one that I laid out with the Rays? With like the get the public to finance the team because they had Jose Reyes. And who else is on that team? That was
the Marlins team.
Yeah.
Heath Bell was on that team. They signed him to a big deal as a closer. They had, I'm trying to remember who was in the big trade between them and the Blue Jays. So I know Josh Johnson was a part of the trade, I think.
They had Hanley Ramirez at the time still. They told everyone who was listening that they were trying to get Pujols. This was what was going on. And then, so let me see here.
Wasn't their reasoning really stupid too? Like how they were trying to convince Miami that they were going to get pulled. It was something ridiculous.
I can't remember what it was. But it was one of the first years that they were becoming the Miami Marlins, you know? And it was like, this isn't the Florida Marlins, you know, the team that's bad and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We have a pineapple in center field.
Oh, jeez.
I still to this day don't even know what that was.
And then all of a sudden, as quickly as it appeared, the roster was gone. Bonifacio was on that team. Oh, of course, the indomitable Greg Dobbs was on that team. Mark Burley was on that team.
Yes, that's who the other big name arm was.
Yeah. Carlos Zambrano was on that team at 31 years old, so still plenty of life left.
You know what's funny about
Sanchez.
Very funny about the Marlins is after all of this happened a few years later, they are still paying Wei-Yen Chen to not play
really?
For them. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, so if you remember, they signed him to a fairly decent contract to be like the compete for like the number 2 spot. And they thought that they would be okay.
Uh-huh.
With some of the young stars coming up, and he had a terrible year. I mean, just an abysmal year. And they're paying him this season.
Oh, man, that's remarkable. If you want to take a look, I found the years in question. You look at the 2012 Miami Marlins roster and then the 2013 Miami Marlins roster, and it is just fantastic. Now, you'll be sad because you'll see Jose Fernandez on there, who obviously was going to be a big part of what they were doing. Christian Yelich is a 21-year-old, was there. in 2013, and Stanton's still there at 23. But there's a whole lot, like the other names that we just talked about from the 2012 Marlins, yeah, they gone. Except for, of course, the indomitable Greg Dobbs. 37-year-old Placido Polanco's on that team.
Could you imagine at one point having an outfield from left to right of Giancarlo Stanton, Marcelo Ozuna, and Christian Yelich, and none of them not only not being on your team, but all three of them thriving on other teams?
This is what I'm saying. This is why it's like the most predatory thing that I've seen a team do, because as far as I know it, timeline-wise, they got the commitment for the stadium built and then ripped the team apart. It's gross. Super gross. 610-632-0975. That's just me. That's just where I am. I can't think of anything worse than that a team's... Except for... Charles Barkley has a righteous beef with, not surrounding him with talent and drafting the wrong people. I'll listen to you there, Charles. You're right about that. But the Marlins doing that is rough.
Yeah, but the thing is, the difference being the Sixers drafted players in hopes that they might be okay. The Marlins just clearly had an intention and found a way to scam the city of Miami out of hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's what I mean. It was literally a scam. All right, here you go. You ready? This is from the MLBPA. And I'll tell you my thoughts, but Tyler, I just want your straight from the hip thoughts on this. In this time of unprecedented suffering at home and abroad, players want nothing more than to get back to work and provide baseball fans with the game we all love. But we cannot do this alone. Earlier this week, Major League Baseball communicated its intention to schedule a dramatically shortened 2020 season unless players negotiate salary concessions. The concessions being sought are in addition to billions in player salary reductions that have already been agreed upon. This threat came in response to an association proposal aimed at charting a path forward. Among other things, players proposed more games, 2 years of expanded playoffs, salary deferrals in the event of a 2020 playoff cancellation, and the exploration of additional jewel events and broadcast enhancement aimed at creatively bringing our players to the fans while simultaneously increasing the value of our product. Rather than engage, the league replied, it will shorten the season unless players agree to further salary reductions. Earlier today, we held a conference call of the association's executive board and several other MLBPA player leaders. The overwhelming consensus of the board is that the players are ready to report, ready to get back on the field, and they're willing to do so under unprecedented conditions that could affect the health and safety of not just themselves, but their families as well. The league's demand for additional concessions was resoundingly rejected. That is the end of the statement. What is your straight from the hip thought?
I understand that Tony Clark, I would assume that's who this is from.
Ken Rosenthal, but I don't know who made the statement, the actual statement.
I would guess it's probably Tony Clark. Okay. He's the player's rep, I believe.
Yeah.
I understand that he probably is using some verbiage and some language to make the players seem totally in the right here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's far off from the truth. I feel like these players are being basically blackmailed into coming into play at the owner's terms and only on the owner's terms. I don't know if the players are 100% entirely in the right, but I am under the impression that they're much closer to being right than being wrong in this particular situation.
Well, they're getting bullied. There's no doubt.
Yes.
There's no doubt they're getting bullied. I hear that statement, and the only thing that I think of is no season. It's not like if the idea is, I get that objectively, if you're with the players, you just need the money. Right, so you want game checks. You don't want fewer game checks. That's why the players want to play more games as opposed to fewer. Totally understand. But if the owners are saying that's the actual problem, then you're not having a disagreement about details. You're having a disagreement about the thing. To me, that's like, that seems like a roadblock that could be impassable at this point.
Yeah, I think it's insurmountable at this point. And, you know, I there was one thing that I didn't want to be right on. I wish that, you know, we could get to this point, we could get to July, you know, get into August and callers being like, yo, you remember when Zuli said that baseball wouldn't play? What an idiot. But I think that we're getting closer and closer to baseball not playing.
Months ago, you had this. Months ago.
I just had a terrible feeling about it. And months ago, it was safety precautions. It was coronavirus related.
That doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
This seems to be purely a monetary thing.
Way worse.
And I don't think that they're going to be able to get over it.
Way worse. Look, let me be careful of how I phrase this. If the season were canceled a couple of months ago, people would have understood, given what the news and what we were reading, what we were hearing about the virus and the public health situation. It would have been an understandable but bitter pill to swallow, right? I think especially now that the information in a lot of parts of the country is really looking more towards the positive side on the public health side, and for Major League Baseball to not be kind of latched on the back of that and saying, all right, we're all going to try to do as much as we're allowed to do, to have the conversation be anything other than that really cuts out the faith of a lot of people at the knees who aren't just like rabid baseball fans, but people who just want sports to come back. Look, as someone who, I would not call myself a rabid baseball fan, I can look at all of the sports objectively and say who's trying to earn my eyeball and who's not. You know what I mean? And it's pretty clear who is and who is not trying to earn my eyeball.
Well, and the thing is, too, every time we hear of an 11th hour deal, mm-hmm. whether it's CBA or a league, whatever, you always have that inkling, like that feeling that, you know, they're probably going to get this done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even in the... Every time the NFL talks about next season, the players are going on strike.
Yep.
They get something done.
Yep.
I don't have that feeling with Major League Baseball this season. And if that's the case, I believe, and I'll go back and check, but I believe their CBA's up next season, at the end of next season. Are they going to be playing a lame duck season in 2021?
Oh, boy.
To then get to a CBA conference, a CBA argument? Because it's not going to be pretty.
So, okay. Here's the existential question. You're talking about Major League Baseball's CBA, yes?
Yes.
If the end goal of this is a salary cap or non-guaranteed salaries, which non-guaranteed salaries are never going to go away, I don't think. Once you have that, but a salary cap, and that is something that is utterly unacceptable to the players, you're literally, like, that's a shutdown. Like, if the object of the game for the owners is a salary cap and that is something that the players will never give up, that you're talking about no baseball, period. We'll check back in 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, or something like that. If you didn't think that you could do a terrible encore of what's going on right now, that would be it.
That would be the way to shut down things permanently. Not the league, again, not the league. But teams, perhaps?
Yeah.
Fandom, for sure.
Yes.
There are not enough, you know, diehard Tyler Zuli fans left in baseball. There are that many in the NBA. There are that many for the NFL.
There might be only those in the NHL.
Right, and that's true.
Yeah.
There's just not nearly enough that
in
would
baseball.
Come back. It'd be very difficult.
610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We've got the 9 o'clock hour coming straight ahead. Looking forward to that. And, of course, more of your phone calls. 610-632-0975. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.